Welcome once again to Beef News and Notes, information for both the producers and the consumers of our great product, beef. Well, we are fortunate again to have on the show someone who has been a friend to agriculture in our region of the country, and in particular, the beef industry, for a long time. Jim Wooster is associate editor of the Tri-State Neighbor magazine and also works with the SDSU Alumni Foundation. Welcome to the program, Jim.
Yeah, Mark, good to be on again. I really enjoyed our time whenever we do this. Yeah, it's great to be here.
Well, thanks. Well, first off, the last time you were on the program, you talked a little bit about the Sioux Falls Ag Experience.
Yeah.
And I understand the Stockyard is celebrating the 100th anniversary. So what's going on with that, Jim?
We had our 100th birthday, but we're calling it the Stockyards Ag Experience Barn, and now we'll start raising money for what we're going to call a Stockyards Ag Experience Plaza, which is a 3.5-acre park plaza across the street on the old property. We own the property. We're going to been approved to raise money for it. The barn is open and going really good. We've been open about 4 months. We've had about 4,000 people, but here's what's interesting. We've already had 48 states and nine foreign countries that have stopped to visit the place. So it just tells the story of the Stockyards and John Morrell, and then the lower level is the farm-to-table story. But if you ever get down here, make sure you call me ahead of time, and I'll meet you down there, and you'll get a private tour. Then you can buy me lunch, of course.
Okay.
All right. That's good.
Well, when you were a cattle buyer at the Stockyards, I know southwestern Minnesota was part of your territory to cover.
Oh, my.
And the cattle producers from our part of the country really can be proud of the product we're raising, can't they?
I'll tell you what's interesting about southwest Minnesota. You think of ranch country where I grew up, central South Dakota and on west. But there's a lots and lots of, I better be a little careful. It's been about 5 years since I was doing that. But there were, and I'm sure still are, many, many really good cow-calf operations in southwest Minnesota. 150, 100, 200 head, that just beautiful quality cattle. And the feedlots over there do a tremendous job there. You know, that I'm not good with genetics, but what these cattle people have done the last 25 to 40 years, especially the last 15 or 20, with genetics, with nutrition, with the product that they're putting. We know about the safety. These processing plants have gotten inspectors from one end to the other. And when you were a cattle buyer years ago, like I was for Spencer, you used to grump about it. But we've got a tremendously safe product. But more, just as importantly, if not more so, is the quality. They're doing their breeding to make it a product that's absolutely nutritious with and yet very little fat. It's just these guys, and I mentioned southwest Minnesota, to me it's one of the best-kept secrets in the country for the quality of cow producers they've gotten. Of course, the feedlots, we know about that. They do a great job with a good product.
Well, those are nice things to say, Jim. We've seen a huge growth in the hog slaughter capacity in our region this summer, but we've also seen some good news in our own local cattle processing plants, and that there's one in Aberdeen that's making the news. Can you just tell us about that plant, Jim?
Do you know Northern Plains? It's a plant that we've been watching that as people interested in the cattle business. I want to say it's been kind of going on. First it wasn't going to make it, then it was going to make it, then it wasn't, then there was some lawsuits, then this and that. But in the meantime, there were some people that just kept pushing. And I'm not in the business anymore, so I'm not. But I'm going to tell you from what I'm hearing, and Lord knows we need a plant like that in that part of the country. But from what I'm hearing, and is that they are really going great guns. And I'll take it a step further. I've got a good friend of mine in the cattle business. Always got about 500-600 cows, and he understands the business. And he had a couple hundred of his own calves on feed up in that country, and he decided to process them. I'll use the old-fashioned word, slaughter them there. And he was really, really tickled with everything about it from the time he got there to the unloading process. And very importantly, if you're the cattle guy and you want quality in your carcasses, his yield was outstanding. The grade was he couldn't say enough about it. I'm probably talking. These are not numbers that I can speak directly, you know, accurately. But it sounds like they're in the neighborhood of 800-900 cattle a day now. And I know they've got a lot of people in play. They're going to do it. I mean, now there was, you know, maybe a year or two ago there was some doubt. I don't think there's any doubt that it's going to be a great addition to this region, because these are cattle guys that are supporting it, and they're guys that understand the business, including my friend, and he was just tickled pink with the outcomes, with everything about it, the way they handled them, the final results, everything. So we're pretty lucky.
We are, and that's great to hear that. Lastly, Jim, I know you're a spokesperson for the corn industry, and it seems of late it's been a struggle in Washington to get the support we thought we had for ethanol plants in the biofuel industry. Can you give us your thoughts?
Well, obviously, we pushed hard all the corn people with. I'll just use ethanol for example. Dr. Barry Dunn, who was the dean of ag at South Dakota State, longtime ag guy, and he's now the president. I heard him speak just a few weeks ago, and I'd never thought of this. You know, exports, exports, exports. We need exports, but he said the problem you've got is, he said, number one, and it's not a problem. Our farmers, our producers, every year are raising more product, more corn. They just are because they're so good at it. But what people like me don't understand, he does because he travels, they're doing the same thing in many of our export markets overseas. They're starting to raise their own. His words were almost verbatim, we can't export our way out of this surplus. We've got to use it some way in our country. We've got to feed it, we've got to grind it, we've got to do something, because, and we need exports. He said, don't misunderstand me, it's a hugely important part of our process, but he said, we're just not going to be able to export the great job these guys are doing, and we got to process it, we got to feed it, and he was very firm, and I agree with him.
Yep, and you know, the message I remember back when we had $6-7 corn was how, you know, yep, we were actually grinding corn for ethanol, and there are, yep, people starving, yep, in the world. Yep. That whole argument, I think, can be re-looked at. And the other part that I find interesting is all of a sudden all the cereals, everything else seemed to go up, up, up. And now that we've got $2.50, $3 corn, I don't hear any news stories about it going down, down, down.
Well, I don't know why. I'm kind of old fashioned. I'm still, my cereal from the time I was a kid was cornflakes, still is. And you're right. I buy these big boxes, and when corn went from 7 down to 3, and now it's in our area, it's a little under 3, my cornflakes are going higher. So,
yeah.
And I don't care. I still like my cornflakes. But the point you just hit on it, let's not be tying the cost of food to corn. Not right now.
Not right now is right.
No.
Well, Jim,
no.
In closing, I just read about something. And I know you're a very humble person, but I would like to just bring it up. And the fact that SDSU is tribute to you for having the Alumni Center's auditorium named the Wooster Celebration Hall, and that's complete with a bronze bust to yourself. So just congratulations on that, Jim.
Well, I really appreciate it. It was quite an honor. It was, yeah, when you're a longtime cattle guy, about all they do is look at you, and they're probably right. Who is that old fellow? Well, I guess now maybe they know. But no, anyway. But I really appreciate the conversation, Mark, and some great questions. And you call anytime. I really like visiting. And hello to everybody in Southwest Minnesota. You were and are tremendous producers, and I mean that.
All right. Well, thanks for being on the program, Jim.
Yep.
And until next week, thanks for listening,
yep,
and we'll talk again.